Thanks so much for joining us for this edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. Since 1937, this program's purpose has been to send forth the light of the gospel. I trust the program will be a blessing, and you will enjoy this broadcast of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance.
Forsake me here while I live by faith and do his blessed will. A wall of fire about me, I've nothing now to fear. With his manna he my hungry soul shall fill.
Then sweeping up to glory, I'll see his blessed face, where rivers of delight shall ever roll.
He's the
lily of the valley, and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. Fairest Lord Jesus, ruler of all nature, Son of God and Son of Man. He's the the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. The fairest of 10,000 to my soul.
Good morning and welcome to this edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. Whenever I hear that song, The Lily of the Valley, it takes me back many, many years to camp meetings I attended with my father and my mother. And that seemed to be one of the favorite camp meeting songs out of those soft back songbooks that would be there at the tabernacle. Great song sung by Greater Vision. I trust it was a blessing to you today. And I pray that the program will be a blessing to you as we continue the message, Casting the Shadow of the Spirit-Filled Life, a message I preached at Wayside Community Church back in the month of April, I believe it was, and that was in Mercer, Pennsylvania. And I'm going to be in camp meeting services this coming weekend, starting July the 10th through the 20th at the Great Indian Springs Holiness Camp Meeting near Jackson, Georgia, in the little community of Flovilla, Georgia. And I was there 2 years ago, and what an incredible camp. And I hope you'll pray for me as I go and share in ministry there. There'll be four other speakers. That gives you an idea of the magnitude of the camp. And I will speak once a day, and there'll be three services plus a Bible study every day during those 10 days. And I'm looking forward to growing spiritually and to sharing the Word of God in the services. And then right from Indian Springs Camp, I'll travel to Cape May, New Jersey, to Irma Holiness Camp Meeting July 21 to 27. So I covet your prayers as I travel to these camp meetings, and that will fill out the month of July for my travel. Then I'll take a few days off before we get into our engagements in the month of August. Heavenly Father, what a joy it is to bring the program to the listening audience today, and I want to thank you for the way you have blessed and provided across the years. Now we're into the 87th year of producing, airing the lights of spiritual guidance. A vision for ministry my dad had so many, many years ago in 1937. And I pray that you would just continue to bless this radio program as we share it week after week. Be with those who listen, those who have special needs. Touch them, I pray. In the name of Jesus, I ask. Amen. Don't forget to write to me. I need to hear from you so I can stay on this radio station. The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. Or go to our website, lomanministries.org, and you can give there as well. May God bless you as you listen today.
With me. You know where we get our word power in the New Testament? It's the Greek word dynamos, where we get our word dynamite. And could it be that that's what we need in our lives personally and in the life of the church corporately? Because you see, over time, the debris of attitudes, the debris of words and time and life, the way we've always done it before, seems to get embedded into our minds and into our hearts. And what we need is for the Holy Spirit to come and just dynamite the whole thing. Get those things out of the way that's hindering us spiritually and hindering the church corporately. I don't want to offend anybody tonight, but I think sometimes we can become spiritually constipated and the Holy Spirit cannot flow through the people of God and through His church. And understand this tonight, and I say it kindly but emphatically, this generation of which you and I are a part, it will not sit still for this petty, clutching, digging your heels attitude that might have been in place in so many churches for 30 or 40 or 50 years. This is the show me generation. Show me why I ought to come to your church. Show me why I ought to believe in your Jesus. Show me what makes the difference in you. Don't just tell me. Show me. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit is likened unto a river. Jesus said that when He, the Holy Spirit, is come, He will be like a river. And out of your inmost being shall flow rivers of living water. My father, in one of his sermons that he preached over 50 years ago, I was listening to it the other day, and he said of the Holy Spirit, if you have the inflow of the Spirit, that creates the upflow of the Spirit, causing the overflow of the Spirit, which will result in the outflow of the Holy Spirit. I'm a country boy, as I noted. Grew up in the country, out on the north side of Greensboro, North Carolina. My Uncle Hazel, yes, that was his name, Hazel. My Uncle Hazel did some contracting work along with his job at Cannon Mill. Cannon Mill was the largest blue denim manufacturer in the world at one time. And my Uncle Hazel and Aunt Hazel and even my mother and my father at one time worked there. But he built himself a home. It was here. He built his sister Ruby and her husband Barney a home, and it was here. He built my mother and my father's home, and it was here. And he had a small farm, my Uncle Hazel did. He had a barn and some outbuildings where he kept his equipment. He had some grazing pasture land, had a pigsty back on the back side of the property. And way back down over there, he had carved out a pond that was spring-fed for his nieces and nephews. He'd even built a bathhouse where we could change clothes when we would go swimming. And I can remember going down to that pond during the hot summer days, and we would just let our imaginations run wild. We had an old abandoned refrigerator we'd taken off the door. It was our ship. And we would sail around the pond in the old refrigerator. And I don't know how it ever appeared, ever got there, but there was a patch of quicksand. It was about as big around as this area right here where I am standing. And we'd play in the quicksand. We were dumb. We would play in the quicksand. And I can remember my brother Richard and I, we would play chicken in the quicksand. We'd jump over in the quicksand and we'd start to sink in the quicksand. And the one that asked to be pulled out first was the loser. And those were the kind of games that we would play. A wasp had infested the bathhouse, and instead of changing in the bathhouse, we'd throw rocks at the wasp and race them to the water. I mean, we had a great time there at the pond. From time to time, we'd come down to the pond to swim, and we'd see this green, slimy, mossy looking stuff on the top of the water. Because we're not going to go in there. We don't want that on us. And one of us would be selected to run up and tell Uncle Hazel about what was going on down at the pond. And we'd go tell him, Uncle Hazel, that green stuff is on the pond again. And he said, well, I know what the problem is. You see, as I said, it was spring fed. And on one side of the pond, there was a drain. And the drain had gotten stopped up. So even though the water was coming in, it was not going out. And it had become stagnant. Thus, the green, slimy, mossy stuff. And he would come and clean out the drain, and the water would flow, and the mossy stuff would disappear. Get the picture? The Holy Spirit wants a clear path in your life and mine to be able to flow through us. Flow up in us and out of us. The book of Ezekiel chapter 47 speaks of everything living where the river flows. And when you read Ezekiel chapter 47, it's a beautiful picture of how that river that flowed down from the temple across the barren desert place, it came into the Dead Sea, and the Dead Sea actually became alive because of the river from the temple that flowed into it. And then it goes on to say that the water was ankle deep, and then it became knee deep, and then it was waist deep, and then it became rivers to swim in. And we want to know that. I don't know about you, but I want rivers to swim in. I want the Spirit of God to be so free-flowing in my life and in the life of the church that He can move us and take us places that we've never been before. And that passage there in Ezekiel says, everything lives where the river flows. You're going to cast a shadow, personally. But then you're going to need the presence of the Holy Spirit corporately. When the day of Pentecost came, notice the language of Acts chapter 2. It says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. I don't want this to sound harsh, but I've concluded that anyone in the church who does not know the reality of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is capable of restricting the work of the church. We talked about that Friday night, about letting the insignificant becoming the significant. The birth of the church at Pentecost was an explosion on the landscape of religious history for its day. I mean, what we have there, it's common, ordinary people that had come in touch with Jesus Christ. He had changed their lives. We don't know who all the people were there in that upper room. Oh, we know there were the disciples. He told them to go to Jerusalem and tarry until they were endued with power from on high. But I cannot help but believe there were other people there. Maybe the widow of Nain and her son. Maybe Zacchaeus was there. Who all was there? We don't know who was there. But they were common, ordinary people in that downtown motel room in Jerusalem who were filled with the Holy Spirit. And what you see on the day of Pentecost is not just a documented picture of what the church used to be. It is an invitation to corporately be a part of that which has always been. We don't need another Pentecost. We need to experience the original one. The baptism of the Holy Spirit. The book of Acts is a portrait of the Holy Spirit. We often call it the Acts of the Apostles. And that's a misnomer. It's not the Acts of the Apostles. It's the Acts of the Holy Spirit in the lives of the Apostles. A return to the book of Acts is not a return to antiquated history. It's an investigation, an understanding of our heritage. I look at this congregation tonight, and with a few exceptions, you're my generation. We're baby boomers. And you may or may not remember this name. Peter, Paul, and Mary. Peter and Paul and Mary, they were one of the renowned folk rock groups of the 60s and early 70s. I can remember when my children were young and I would put them to bed at night. They had bunk beds in their bedroom, and Winston would be on the bottom bunk. He was the youngest, and Wesley would be on the top bunk. And I would have to stay with them until they went to sleep. At least I had to stay with Winston. He was the youngest, and he seemed a bit more insecure than Wes. And so I would sit down beside that lower bunk, and he would put his little hand over on my shoulder to make sure I wouldn't leave before he was asleep. And I would sing to them. And this is what I'd sing. Puff the magic dragon, lived by the sea, and frolicked in the autumn mist in a land called Honalee. Little Jackie Paper loved that rascal up. And that's as far as I learned the song, because Winston was usually asleep by then. I met Paul Stuckey one day. He'd become a Christian. He was at a Christian folk festival in Nashville. And I went up to him and introduced myself to him. And I told him that story I just told you. And he was very kind, very gracious man. But when he was still singing with Peter and Mary, he was not a Christian. He was on drugs, into alcohol. One day, he was so miserable, the story goes, that he walked up to another very popular rock singer by the name of Bob Dylan. And he said, "Bob, I'm miserable. My life is going nowhere. I'm hung out on drugs, addicted to alcohol, and I'm miserable. Is there anything that I can do?" And Bob Dylan, of all people, said, "Yes, there is something that you can do, Paul." And Paul said, "What's that?" He said, "Go back to where you came from. Go back to your hometown. Find the house where you grew up. Buy it. You've got the money. If they'll sell it, buy the house. Live there again. Go find the school you attended. If it's still there, find that school you attended. Go into some of those classrooms where you sat in a desk where you might have carved your name on the wooden desk. Find some of those teachers that taught you back then, if they're still alive." And Paul Stuckey said, "Why? Why, Bob, should I do that?" And Bob Dylan looked at Paul Stuckey and he said, "Because if you go back to where you came from, maybe you can discover who you were. And if you can discover who you were, maybe you can find out who you're supposed to be." Woodrow Wilson, who was president of the United States during World War I, he said, "A nation that does not remember what it was yesterday does not know what it is today, nor what it is trying to do. We're trying to do a very futile thing if we do not know where we came from or what we have been about." Going back to Pentecost, revisiting what happened on the day of Pentecost, helps us to understand who we are supposed to be as a church. The church was born in a flame of passion that changed its known world. It was not the ordered structure of the way we do church today. Do we even understand sometimes? I wonder, do we even get our minds around what happened on the day of Pentecost? It was phenomenal. We know that. Rushing mighty wind. Cloven tongues of fire. It was phenomenal. But there was more. Pentecost was about a church being birthed in response to the heart and the mind of God for the propagation of the kingdom of God. And that's what it's supposed to be today. It's about people like you and me being filled with the power of the Holy Spirit to be the embodiment of Jesus Christ in the world in which you and I live. It is about people from all walks of life living in the realm of the Spirit. We talked about revival not being over tonight. There needs to be a spirit of revival that envelops the people of God so that when we come to church on Sunday, we walk into these doors and into the sanctuary, and we don't just come and sit, soak, and sing and occupy the pew. We come with a spirit of expectancy, thinking, well, I wonder how God's going to come today. I wonder what God's going to do today. And we come with that kind of a mindset, and we believe it. We pray for it. We expect it. Listen, you cannot define the church that leaves out Pentecost.
Thanks so much for listening to this broadcast of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. I hope you'll take a few moments to write us a letter and let us know that you listened to the program. And if you can, send a gift so we can stay on your radio station. You can write to me, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. Or you can go to our website, lomanministries.org, and give through the Venmo or the PayPal tab. If you're looking for a church home, I know you would be welcome in any of the following churches: in the state of Illinois, Faith Chapel, Carrier Mills; in the state of Kentucky, the churches of the Kentucky Mountain Holiness Association in Eastern Kentucky; in the state of North Carolina, Charity Baptist Church in High Point, Friendship Baptist Church in Willow Springs, Mount Gilead Methodist Church in Trinity, and Trinity Church in Salisbury; in the state of Ohio, Trinity United Brethren Church in Fostoria; and here in Columbus, Indiana, where this program is produced, Bethel Wesleyan Church, Columbus Free Methodist Church, and Flintwood Wesleyan Church. Till the same time next week, don't forget, my friend, I'm still praying for you.